This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Karen Hennerty, who is a Republican Party spokesperson here in California. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Nice to be with you.
We're mainly going to talk about two things, Shelleygate and Proposition 71. First on Shelleygate, about a month ago, I contacted the Election Assistance Commission and said, are you going to be looking into what's going on here with the HAVA money? And they said, we don't know. A few days ago, Republican Party leaders here in California sent a letter to Mr. Soares, who's the chair of the EAC, saying that he ought to look into it. Now he has, but he says it's not because of them. What's your take on the impact of Republicans asking for this inquiry, this audit of the HAVA money?
Oh, you know, I think the biggest factor into any kind of investigation or audit into Kevin Shelley is actually Kevin Shelley. You know, the newspapers in California have been doing a tremendous job of retrieving the evidence that would demonstrate that Mr. Shelley's office has been engaging in political partisan politics on the taxpayer dime. And they've been doing a great job reporting those incidences. And I'm glad to know that the Federal Elections Assistance Commission is paying attention to what's going on in the state of California. You know, Mr. Shelley each and every day indicts himself by refusing to speak with newspapers and refusing to speak with reporters and explain himself.
And like they say, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, huh?
Well, it appears to be a cover-up. I think that what they're trying to do right now is paint themselves as incompetent, and it was just mismanagement, and boy, if only they were smarter, and if only they knew more, they could have done a better job. But that's not the case. We know that Tony Miller, who is the legal counsel for Mr. Shelley, has been working for the Secretary of State's office for more than 20 years. This is a well-educated man who absolutely knows the letter of the law and the spirit and the intent of the Help America Vote Act, and he knows very well that when the Secretary of State's office allowed taxpayer dollars to be spent on political activities, including paying consultants, $50,000 contracts to attend campaign events, fundraisers for John Kerry, as well as the California Democratic Party, and attend meetings for the Democratic National Convention, that was a misappropriation of funds.
Well, could they have thought that they were going to get away with that?
Well, clearly they thought they would get away with it. Look, you know, Gray Davis got away with a lot of campaign improprieties for a number of years, and I think that Kevin Shelley and the hubris of the people who surround him, I think it's gotten the best of them. And clearly, they acted with reckless abandon. They filled out staff activity reports that demonstrate that they were attending political events, that they were meeting donors, that they were requesting that Kevin Shelley send these donors thank you cards or condolence cards, and they were doing it all on the taxpayers' dime. So it's not incompetence, it's not mismanagement, it's sheer corruption.
Okay, from what you know about it, how extensive and how soon will the Election Assistance Commission be investigating this?
Well, the Elections Assistance Commission has said that they are going to take a look at the facts immediately. Congressman Doug Osi today asked them for an immediate investigation. You know, I'd like to see a congressional investigation. I'd like to see some type of authority to subpoena documents and to subpoena witnesses so that we can get to the real truth of what is going on in the Secretary of State's office and whether or not Kevin Shelley is guilty of election fraud in the state of California.
Okay, now, California is a leader in a lot of things, a lot of political things. Do you think it's reasonable to assume that there are other states where there are similar, bigger, smaller problems like this, and that the EAC ought to be investigating all over the country and not just California?
Obviously, the Elections Assistance Commission has an obligation to audit the states on a regular basis. I think that that is built into what they will be doing. I think they need to give immediate attention to the state of California, where sheer fraud, abuse, and corruption have been reported in the newspapers, and really, so far, there's no evidence to contradict what has been reported.
Okay. Given the troubles that he has with the EAC now, with the HAVA money, the allegations of money laundering in San Francisco, and the charges of personal impropriety, do you think Mr. Shelley ought to resign today or soon?
You know, the Sacramento Bee editorial page today called on Kevin Shelley to resign. I was very happy to see that editorial. I think it would be a very good idea if Kevin Shelley resigned sooner rather than later so that we can get on with the job of ensuring fair elections so that we can get the money to county registrars who need money for electronic voting machines. They need money for voter education and outreach. And Kevin Shelley has done nothing to help these county registrars. He's standing in the way of educating the disenfranchised voters about their right to vote and where they vote and how to go about voting. And it's right. A sham.
Specifically on that, I've been covering for the last week or so this controversy involving the Easy Voter Guide. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Where do you stand on, or where does the Republican Party stand on the disposition of that $300,000, which is being held up, as far as I can tell right now, by the governor and the Department of Finance and the Secretary of State's having to send in some answers to questions? It's a pretty big mishmash. Where does that stand, and where does the Republican Party stand on it?
First of all, easy voter guides are very useful to voters. I mean, we think it's a great idea. I think the administration thinks it's a great idea. It is unfortunate that Kevin Shelley's office is standing in the way, and it's really the burden falls on the shoulders of Kevin Shelley's office to answer the questions so that money can be released so that these easy voter guides can get to the people who need them. You know, when I hear and I read in the paper that easy voter guides are being distributed at political rallies, Democrat political rallies, I wonder, you know, a political rally, most people are probably registered to vote and they're familiar with the voting process. Easy voter guides are a wonderful idea, but they need to go to the people who need them most, and they shouldn't be thrown away on political activists who know how to vote, know where to vote, and actually go out themselves and encourage people to vote.
Okay, so is the party encouraging the governor, once he gets these answers from Kevin Shelley's office, to tell the Department of Finance, to tell the Joint Legislative Budget Committee to release $300,000 so that the voter guide people can get their money and get those out to the people who aren't politically sophisticated?
You know, a week ago, the California Republican Party wrote a letter to the Department of Finance asking that they establish an independent authority to administer HAVA funds so that individual civic organizations that are nonpartisan can get easy voter guides out, that they can do voter outreach and voter education, because quite frankly, you can't trust the Secretary of State's office to do the right thing and to expend the funds and to get the easy voter guides to the people that they need to get to. What we need is an independent authority. We have asked the Department of Finance to do that. We need it done before the elections because it's important to us as well. Look, Republican or Democrat, our job is to encourage Republicans to turn out to vote. The Democrat Party's job is to encourage Democrats to turn out to vote. But it's the job of the state of California to encourage all voters and to ensure that they're educated about the process. And that's what we've asked for. So we've been actively engaged in that process.
So in fact, the default position is that the HAVA money goes to the chief election officer in the state, in this case the Secretary of State. You're saying that that ought to be taken away from the Secretary of State and given to an independent commission.
We'd like to see an independent authority administer the funds, because okay. Kevin Shelley has done absolutely nothing to ensure that he is going to distribute those funds or distribute those pamphlets in a fair and partisan manner.
Okay. Something more or less completely different, let's switch over to Proposition 71,
sure.
Which is the stem cell initiative. What's the position of the Republican Party on that, and how actively will they be pursuing that position in the election?
At our state convention in San Diego a couple months ago, the party voted to oppose Prop 71. This is a bond. This is a $3 billion bond that could easily grow with interest over time to a $6 billion bond with little to no guarantee, and that is why we oppose it. You know, as the state of California is getting back on its feet, this is just not the right time. The Republican Party, as well as President Bush, supports stem cell research. President Bush has funded stem cell research like no other president has. But this particular bond is not the right thing for the state of California.
Okay, now what you're saying is it's principally a financial opposition because of that $6 billion. What about the argument frequently raised against Prop 71 that it involves the creation of human embryos for the destruction of those human embryos in order to do the stem cell research, and that that's morally wrong and it ought to be opposed on that basis?
You know, I think there are a lot of social debate. I think that stem cell research actually deserves, and I think the Republican Party would agree, and I know they would agree, that stem cell deserves intelligent, thoughtful public debate. You know, unfortunately, the initiative process does not always allow for thoughtful debate.
Some of the nuance gets lost.
Well, the nuances get lost, and I think that deeper considerations get lost. If this is something that the state of California believes is important, then it should go through the legislative process. Let's have public hearings on it, and let's make sure that as much information is made available to the public as possible. It's very difficult in a couple of paragraphs in a voter guide to really get at exactly what this initiative would do and the ramifications and who should be funding it. You know, the question is, if we're doing research and development on stem cell research that is actually going to benefit a number of biotech companies down the road who will make billions, millions or billions of dollars that will not be reimbursed to the state of California, who should bear the cost of that research and development? You know, I think that's a very thoughtful question that individuals need to have, and I'm not sure that an initiative process really allows for that kind of debate.
The argument is made by the proponents of Proposition 71 that it's going to they hedge their language in a legalistic way, but they're essentially saying that if this money is forthcoming, they will have cures for Alzheimer's, diabetes, and Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis, and all kinds of other horrible diseases that would, of course, people want to eradicate or treat. But they're essentially saying, give us this money and we'll do it. It seems to me, if it's such a big likelihood that will happen, why isn't private capital going into this business anyway? It's not illegal to do private embryonic stem cell research today.
You know, we all have personal experiences with diabetes and Alzheimer's. We've seen it in our friends and our family. I know I have, and we'd like nothing more than to have the cure to these diseases, which ravage families and individuals. However, there are no guarantees, and anyone, any proponent of Prop 71 who would make promises is really doing the public a disservice. In fact, it's cruel to make those kinds of promises because there's simply no guarantee. And the fact of the matter is, if we were on the cusp of a cure, I am confident that the biotech community would be researching and developing that cure and that they would do it without this assistance of the state of California.
Right, this is, in some sense, a jobs program for the biotech industry then, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, private funding for a number of cures and medical research and medical development is quite often the best way to go because you have more latitude than you have with state funding. And at the end of the day, let's not forget that a lot of these biotech companies are going to make a lot of money off of these cures. And, you know, I think that it probably is more appropriate for them to bear the cost of the investment. They'll be reaping the benefits at the end of the day. California has an economy that is slowly recovering. We're trying to keep jobs in the state. We have a new governor who's doing a tremendous job, but a $6 billion bond, simply with no guarantees, I don't think is appropriate at this time for the state of California, certainly not when there are other options.
Now, the people who've put up the money to get it passed have put up $12 million, and it seems I haven't seen much of it spent yet. It seems like most of that money is going to be in commercials towards the end of the campaign season, showing victims of these diseases saying, save us, save us. And I'm wondering whether the Republican Party has any strategy that it is either going to follow or recommends as a way of countering those appeals to emotion on top of the financial issues.
The Republican Party has taken a no position on Proposition 71, but we are not running the campaign and we are not funding the campaign.
Okay. Finally, I interviewed Dana Rohrabacher a few days ago about what I'm calling Arnie's Amendment that would modify the U.S. Constitution to allow U.S. citizens who've been naturalized and have spent 20 years since they've been naturalized to run for president of the United States. What do you know about the governor's position on this amendment, whether he will, as Congressman Rohrabacher said, be spending all of his time focusing on his job and not at all on this, or whether he thinks it's a good idea or how he feels about it?
Well, I don't speak for the governor. I'll let you call his office directly, and they can answer that. But you know, certainly, again, this is another issue that I think deserves serious debate. And you know, in the past, Senator Orrin Hatch has brought this up, and it has been topic of discussion. And I think the nation as a whole is going to have to make a considerate determination on whether or not we want to change the Constitution, whether that is in the best interest of the nation as we progress. You know, I think right now Governor Schwarzenegger is probably solely focused on the state of California and the enormous task at hand.
Okay, just one last question about Proposition 701 I wanted to ask you. The argument is made by its proponents that it's going to greatly reduce the cost of health care, which they cite as $110 billion a year in California. Do you believe that in distinction to all the other previous medical breakthroughs that have cost more than their predecessors, that stem cell research, should it be wildly successful, will be wildly successful in reducing healthcare costs?
Those claims, actually, that the research that came out on that was paid for by the Yes on 71 campaign.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
I've been trying to get them to answer.
Already, I'm going to discount a political proposal that has been put out as empirical data. There's no empirical data to back up those claims. And again, they're misleading the public. They're raising hopes and expectations, and to do so is terribly cruel to many families out there with children who have diabetes and aging parents who have Alzheimer's who desperately want cures. And I think that these people should be called to task for raising such unrealistic expectations.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to us on California Politics today. I've enjoyed listening, and hopefully we'll be able to talk more as some of these campaigns continue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.